Welcome to The Burnout Show, a weekly conversation with special guests who generously share their burnout stories with us. We also chat with health and wellness experts on how to best navigate burnout when you're in the thick of it, as well as how to avoid it returning. And now here's your host, Jess Jones.
Thanks for coming back to The Burnout Show. Before we get into today's episode with Rebecca Moore, I just want to remind you that if you are struggling and looking for some extra support with managing or avoiding burnout, the Breaking Up with Burnout mini course is available now. You'll get access to 3 modules that cover life, work and burnout, which you can move through at your own pace. Head to the link in our show notes to find out more or go to theburnoutclub.com/breakingupwithburnout. Now here's my chat with Rebecca. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to another episode of The Burnout Show. Today's special guest is Rebecca Moore. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. So I work with women who are thinking, who've been in a professional setting and they are interested in making a transition to really monetize their brilliance and make an impact through entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So typically it's women who have never owned a business before, or they've started a business and want to take it to the next level. And I really help them get to the next level and earn a meaningful income and make an impact. So
Sounds amazing. What did you want to be growing up?
That's a good question. I actually wanted to be an artist. It was one thing I was naturally good at and was encouraged at. And interestingly enough, was never encouraged in the business end. So I really only thought, well, gosh, that's the only thing that I'm good at. So that's what I want to do.
Yeah. So what led you to the work that you're doing now in helping women step into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so funny story, in high school, I had the advantage of taking a course with a very kind of forward-thinking teacher who taught a course in art history. And I realized we had an exam, and on the exam, she had us try to identify an artist. And it turned out to be an artist no one had ever heard of before, who was a woman artist in the Renaissance. And it just kind of made me just pause and think. And, you know, the artist's name was at the bottom. So it was if you knew where to look, you got it right. But that got me thinking, how come there are all these women that have just never been noticed in the world and in the art field? So I ended up going to university and studying art history and art, and very interested in helping women just advance and find their talent and be compensated for it and acknowledged for it. So that was kind of an underlying theme in my life. Yeah. And so then I worked for the Smithsonian out of college and then decided that there needed to be more women museum directors. So I went to business school.
Fantastic.
And then I took a course in entrepreneurship and I realized that, well, this is the most creative aspect of business, and I got hooked. So I started working for a startup and have been working for startups and companies ever since.
What was the first startup you worked for?
So the first startup, I was actually hired by a professor from my business school who had a startup that was it was basically working in the environmental field, interestingly enough. And we were helping environmentally sensitive businesses write their business plans and marketing plans and get funding. Mm-hmm. So that was my first foray. And then I worked for the EPA, which was totally boring. It was government work. And I realized, nope, I like entrepreneurship. And I started my own consulting firm. And then I started my own startup called museumshop.com. And the idea was to create a collaborative commerce platform for museums to sell their museum store products. And grew that and built it up and raised money for it and had 30 employees, 4,000 products. And it was exciting. Exciting time.
Huge. Very exciting. What was that like going into, I guess, from working for other people and helping them with their own startup to actually getting to get in there, get your hands dirty and build your own?
Yeah. So it was terrifying. Mm. Looking back, and that's why I'm doing what I am doing now. I really had no mentors, and there were not a lot of people. This is in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm. So there were not a lot of other women that were entrepreneurs. It wasn't like what it is now, where there's tons of women entrepreneurial networks and stuff like that. Yeah. So it was a bit terrifying, but it was also exciting.
Yeah.
And I think the reason I was attracted to, you know, that you and I connected is just that when you're working at a startup, it is so intense. And mm-hmm. most entrepreneurs I know are just driven by, you're living on adrenaline.
Yeah.
And once you accept outside funding, it's no longer, you know, you have all this responsibility to mm-hmm. generate returns. It's super intense, super mm-hmm. intense, millions of decisions a day. And so it can easily lead to burnout.
Yeah. How long did you have that particular business for?
So I had that business for about 5 years, and the plan was, as for many, many startups, is to be acquired. And we were mm-hmm. in the midst of an acquisition, and then 9/11 happened.
Wow.
And so basically the deal that we were brokering fell through because we weren't able to hit our fourth quarter earnings. And in the, you know, gift retail, our byline was gifts for the culturally curious. Well, mm-hmm. nobody was buying, you know, yeah. unessential gifts in the fall and winter of 2001. So we ended up having to wind it down, and that was devastating. And I was also pregnant with my second child. Forgot to mention, I had my first child during my startup. I raised my first tranche of money from an angel investor when I was 7 months pregnant.
Wow.
And so, you know, just juggling starting a new family and starting a business and venture capital, you know, dealing with board meetings, flying to New York from Boston and all that. It just wore me down tremendously, so that when we ended up winding down and I had my second daughter, I was just spent. So it took me several years to really recover. And I actually ended up, I don't know if this is related, but I ended up getting breast cancer. And I've listened to some of your other podcast guests, and it seems like there's a growing correlation between, you know, I think one of them was mentioning adrenal fatigue. Exhaustion, mm-hmm. fatigue. But yeah, so that's why it's so important to even if you are going the venture capital route, you're starting a startup to build in, you know, time to recuperate, to maybe slow down your plans for growth a little bit, or just be a little bit more reasonable about your pace of growth and lean on a lot of people, delegate.
Yeah.
Lots of things. I learned so much.
Yeah, I bet. Did you have much support around you when you were going through that startup phase and then trying to find capital as well?
So I did not have anybody who helped me raise the capital. That was just like, I just figured it out. Although that's not true. I did find one group called Springboard Enterprises, mm-hmm. which was that was the first year. And it was kind of like Shark Tank for women. And so I was able to apply to that and present kind of like a TED talk in front of like 500 investors and, you know, get a lot of credibility there. And they had a boot camp for that. So it was really helpful to get advice. But it was extremely intense. There was not, and this is 20 years ago, so there just was not as much of an emphasis on, you know, how do you maintain your well-being? How do you protect your energy? You know, manage your time? Yes. How do you block your time? All the things that I teach my clients now.
So do you think, for yourself and knowing your own story and the experiences that you've had in the past, and just that, I guess, invisibility factor for women back then, do you think a lot of that has really driven you to make this business your purpose and to be able to make those changes to help women so they don't have to go through what you went through?
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, that's kind of my, well, I hope to be eventually my legacy is encouraging, you know, especially women, because there's so many more. If you're starting a family and starting a business, it's hard. I mean, it's not easy. And so I just want to be able to encourage women not only to go for it, because you know, it's just, it's so important for women to be in positions where they are running the show and teaching their sons and daughters that this is possible. Mm-hmm. But also, interestingly enough, many of my clients have already had careers and now they're trying entrepreneurship on for size because they don't want to be peddling someone else's business. They want to be running the show. And they also want to add their value. They want to incorporate their own values into mm-hmm. the company. And yeah. they want to grow, but not at the expense of others. And I think that these kinds of things are really important to encourage with other entrepreneurs. And I want to also encourage anyone and everyone, no matter what your age, it's never too late to cultivate your purpose. It doesn't matter. I mean, I had my third child when I was 40. You know, I started a company at 34 and then I started another company at 54.
Yeah.
So it's okay. And also, it's just so we're in such an incredible era right now where there has never been this many women who are highly educated, highly knowledgeable, very wise. We mm-hmm. have so much to offer. Yeah. And having gone through childcare and caring for elderly parents and those kinds of things, we have a different perspective. And to add to business, to basically change the course of business, I think.
I agree. Yeah.
So
what have you found are some of the biggest challenges or blocks that women come up against to stop them from being successful?
Well, so there's all the strategics, you know, just learning about business, all the strategic stuff about business. But then a lot of it is, you know, you hear again and again about mindset and energy. It's just a lot of it is time management, prioritization, minimizing distractions, managing your thoughts and your energy is mm-hmm. where a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck, because they can have the greatest idea and the most talent, but you still can get hung up on a lot of these things.
Yeah. So absolutely. Yeah. So what does your day to day look like, and how do you manage your own time effectively now?
Well, it's always a process for me and everyone. I think one of the things that I've learned, and this is, I struggle against it all the time, but when I started this business, I decided I'm just going to grow it on my own time, at my own pace. Mm-hmm. So even as tempting as it is, you look at social media for 1 minute, it's like overnight success, you know, build your empire. And I just resist that. It's like, no, I am building this the way I want to. And if I have to go take care of my elderly parents, or I have to, you know, move my daughter into college, or I'm going to take a day off. And so that's the overarching. And the other part is that I time block. So I have particular times that I work on social media. On Fridays is my just kind of work on the business day. So I don't do any client calls on Mondays and Fridays, or on Fridays. And then I take time in the morning for myself. Mm-hmm. So to work out and meditate and take time. Now there are certain times when it's crunch time, like right before I launch a program, I'm going to give myself grace to just, like, sometimes I have to work really, you know, work longer hours, but in general, that's what I prioritize. And I have my kind of perfect day in my mind.
Yeah.
So, you know, the perfect day is like a little bit of time for exercise, for spiritual, for intellectual, you know, listening to a course or reading a book, and then focused work time, client time, working out, rest. I mean, that's like a perfect day, you know, time with family. But some days, you know, I may be hit four of those.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Good. Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
But then you're like, okay, I am working at a cadence that works for me.
Yes.
And sometimes I mess up and I try to be gentle with myself on that. And I encourage my clients to be the same.
Yeah.
There's another thing I always encourage my clients to do, and all of us need to work at it, but we've heard about the zones of genius. And if I can be in that zone of genius where I'm just brainstorming with my clients, like guiding them, helping them, and if I can increase the amount of time each day that I'm doing that zone of genius work, mm-hmm. that's great. And that mm-hmm. encourages me to really focus on, okay, where can I delegate? Where can, what things can I eliminate and what can I automate? And I'm continually going through thinking of that, you know, every few months I go back mm-hmm. and say, okay, yeah, I need to delegate some more. So those are just a few little tips.
Yeah. Excellent. Can you tell me a little bit about your own burnout story? You mentioned when you were winding down your startup that everything kind of came to a head for you?
I think it was actually before we were winding down, when we were in the midst of my venture capital and board was really encouraging me to grow in one direction, mm-hmm. To add a new segment of our business. It was actually a B2B component of our business. The rest of our business was B2C. So I was working on that. My team was working on the B2C. We were trying to grow. We were trying to hit mm-hmm. all of our numbers. We were trying to position ourselves for an acquisition. And, you know, I had a small child and I was pregnant. And I remember one day in my office, I just needed to take a nap because I was like 5 months pregnant, and I just had to lay on the floor.
Yeah,
and I had this like little window in my door, and one of my employees came and they looked in and they thought I'd like passed out. I'm like, oh no, I'm just taking a nap.
Like,
it was
rest,
just I was totally burning the candle at both ends, and my marriage started to get rocky. My husband started to get really resentful that I was working all the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that to happen. So that was pretty close. And I actually couldn't even sleep well because I was just constantly thinking about the next thing that we needed to do. Totally wired for sound. Lost weight, you know, wasn't working out at all. So, I mean, it was an exciting time full of the adrenaline, but it wore my body down.
Mm-hmm.
And affected my relationships.
Yeah. What was your recovery like then coming out of that time for you? What did you start to do differently, or the little changes that you made to improve things?
Well, it was kind of like a hard stop because we wound down it and I had a baby like simultaneously. So I'm like,
yeah,
it was hard.
Yeah.
That was hard because it was like losing. It was a big loss. So I was actually grieving.
Yeah.
And because I had been going so fast, and then I suddenly became like the equivalent of what they call it here in the US, a stay at home mom. Mm-hmm. I was like, what do people do all day? Like, where is everybody? I mean, like, I was just like,
what do I do now?
I was in another world. And
yeah,
I didn't like it. And mm-hmm. I had been going so fast for so long. That just hanging out with the babies was kind of like, I was restless.
Yeah.
So it took a while to learn how to slow down. Quite a while.
Yes, I understand that. I started my first business when I went on, or before I went on maternity leave, knowing that I would probably go a little bit crazy if I was doing nothing. So I literally launched the first business when I was 37 weeks pregnant with my first child.
Oh my gosh.
Just to have something else to do besides manage a little, needy baby. So I totally understand that.
Interestingly, the babies are so, it's such a physical need. Like it's so physically exhausting.
It is.
But the intellectual and mental is like a wasteland.
It is, yeah. And that's where you need it the most, the stimulation.
Yeah. 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 Oh, I so hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even take a maternity leave with my first daughter because at that point the business was, we had a finished basement. And so my employees with a separate entrance. So my employees would show up downstairs, just come down, go up and nurse, come down, go up and.
Yeah. Wow. So you didn't have any real boundaries then, even from that point? No.
No, that was a huge, huge mistake.
But you were just doing what you had to do as what you could do, I guess.
Yeah, but that's where when you have a coach or a mentor or an advisor who's been through it before, then they can help to kind of, you know, help you say, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Yes. And you need to rest. Or yes. Yeah. And you can delegate that.
That's right.
I was not too good at the delegation.
Be hard, especially when it's your own, you know, business that you've built from scratch yourself. It's hard to imagine that anyone else would do as good a job as you. So it is hard to let go, but it can be one of the most freeing things that we can do as well for ourselves, delegating to other people and trusting.
Finding those good people. Absolutely. I had some wonderful, wonderful employees, so I was lucky in that regard.
So what does your downtime look like now?
So I love, there's some series I love to watch on Netflix and love to, you know, cook out, make dinners, have friends over, chill, go bike riding, read. I love to listen to audiobooks and garden. That's actually, that's like nirvana. It's just like listening to a really good book and gardening at the same time.
Yeah,
it's just like, I love my headphones. Noise canceling headphones. And then spending time with my kids are, they range high school, college, and just out of college. So getting together with them is awesome. Traveling.
Oh, lovely. Sounds amazing. So what are you most excited about in your life right now?
Well, I think the combination of seeing my daughters kind of launch themselves is really cool. You'll get there. But it's really, really cool to see them become young adults. That's what I'm most excited about. And also my clients. I love my clients and seeing them, you know, just start to really turn the corner, seeing them develop new business models and get paid for being themselves. Like for that's just incredibly gratifying. So that's what I'm most excited about.
Amazing. What brings you the most joy?
For me, creativity, just being creative, like brainstorming, coming up with ideas. When I am with a client and, or, you know, or even my daughters or friends, and we're just like, it's almost like freestyle skiing. It's just so fun. I love it. It just, that blows my hair back.
Amazing. And good to have a few different people in your life that you can do it to, because I imagine you get different things from different people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Because I'm kind of goofy. I'm not all business. I'm just, you know, I enjoy the creative aspect of business. Going outside the lines.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. What's something you've done that you're most proud of?
Let's see. Well, I actually, as I look back, I think museumshop.com, you know, building from just an idea and just actually making it happen and turning the idea into an actual company and raising the funds for it when I really, you know, I had so much going against me. I'm pretty proud of that. And even though it didn't materialize the way I wanted it to, I mean, I really wanted it to like just take off. It still was an accomplishment for me. I never would imagine doing that. Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing. Well, aside from my kids, I'm like just they're miracles. But yeah.
Was there ever a point where you thought you could come back to it, to that business?
For a few years, I did. For a few years, I really toyed with it, especially, you know, after, well, yeah, I, for quite a few years, I was thinking of rekindling it.
What stopped
you? Then, you know, things have changed. I mean, things have changed too. I mean, the technology has changed and museums have actually gotten a lot better at, you know, they have gotten a lot more sophisticated in doing things themselves. The other thing is just there's some business factors too, just like in terms of new product development, mm-hmm. it's pretty capital intensive. And
yeah, right.
That's something I would love to do, but it's, I mean, that's a different kind of a business.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally, Rebecca, what's one piece of advice or tip you'd share with someone today who's potentially listening and going through burnout themselves?
Let's see. Well, I guess the most encouraging thing is if you know you're going through burnout, that's a good thing to recognize it so that you can take action mm-hmm. and get on the other side of it. The other thing is, this is, I guess, I just want to give people hope that, you know, that you can actually change your reality and you can actually change your thinking and stop being so anxious and stop mm-hmm. some of these bad, you know, these behaviors that are actually unproductive. You can actually make those changes through, you know, changing your thinking and looking at some of your beliefs and your values. And there's lots of evidence and support in doing that. So that's just a hopeful thing that you can actually get out of the burnout and you can yeah. create a career or a situation that's much more meaningful to you and energizing to you. It doesn't deplete you. I mean, if you're completely depleted, there's something that's not right. So it's a red flag. The yeah. other thing is, there's a lot of tips and tools you can do, like we mentioned time blocking and things like that. But also know that when you start a bit, like if you were starting a business, you're actually changing your identity. And so on the same token, if you're in burnout, you can actually change from this person who is burned out to a completely different person mm. who is energized and not burned out. And part of that means leveling up, making changes, and they're going to be uncomfortable. But the other part is also surrounding yourself with people who are not burned out, who have been burned out, but not burned out now, who've gotten through it. And they can be kind of your kitchen cabinet, you know, yeah. and surrounding yourself with people who are going to encourage you to get beyond it. I really think, you know, to the extent you can even find one other person to encourage you and help you get through it, that's a really, really useful, important thing to do mm. because it's hard to do it by yourself.
It is. Yeah. So just finding that support.
Yeah. And the other thing I found is that when you go to these different levels, so when you're at a business at a particular level, you need to get to the next level. You kind of, sometimes you need to change your kitchen cabinet, you know, your mm-hmm. advisors
yeah.
to someone who is at that other level. And that means not leaving other people behind, but you're kind of, you know, you are evolving. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Wonderful. Fantastic advice. Rebecca, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
It's my pleasure. It was good to chat with you too.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. If you're suffering from burnout or want some tips on how to avoid it, join our Facebook group, the Burnout Club Community. If you've gotten something out of today's episode, we'd love your review. Simply click the link in the show notes to share your thoughts. Until next time, go gently.